favorite meal, so I can start another week of taking away your phone, going through your messages, calling you names, insulting your
violence again.
CKUT 90.3 FM.
Hello to all. It has become the time for a new episode of Pirate Block Radio here at CKUT 90.3 FM. Speaking to you is your host, Malte Leander, taking you through the next hour of discussions. Pirate Block Radio is a part of the Arts Centre Eastern Bloc, based in Cheechage, also known as Montreal, located on unceded Indigenous lands. Today, we're touching on projects that revolve around biomaterials, interactive installations, and educational community-engaging works with Amélie Brandamour, as well as the whimsical, intricate, and dreamy worlds of Hea R. Kim's installation works, and much more. Before going into more detailed discussions on Amélie's current residency with the Art Center, we will be covering the work of the recent recipient of the MicroPrize Bursary, Hea R. Kim, with me here today. Hey there, Hea. How is it going
with you? Hello. Thank you for inviting me. Everything so far so good.
Great to hear. Perfect. I understand that you're working with a whole lot of different expressions in your mixed media installations, everything from fibers and wood and ceramics, recycled materials, and also digital forms of expression. Quite a big mix of things. Perhaps you could be sharing what you're currently working on.
I'm currently in the process of making a series of zine with another artist. This collaborative zine is about visualizing sensitive feelings, emotions, anxiety, and ambivalence with a friendly and fun-loving touch. As for my own art, I'm building my own archive through various approaches, photography, collecting objects, and documenting sounds that will become the source of my future work. At the same time, I'm researching variable perceptions of time and space through the materials I gather. I try to ask a question to myself as an artist, to rethink of my effort, my creative desire, and my continuous longing I have had over years. So this time I will focus on finding meaning and wonder that lies this fragile pursuit through the everything around me.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, working with a sort of a big variety of materials and textures and objects, and now also different sort of themes. What medium is perhaps the one that speaks to you particularly?
I visit several secondhand stores to find the object that speak to me. For example, I try to find the reminiscent materials such as kitchen items or the toys that remind me of my home country, because I'm now researching how we visualize our nostalgia or the memory through the materials. So I want to focus on how objects can transform into my artwork by collaborate with different sounds and photographs. So it's a very different approach compared to what I previously work. Mm-hmm. Because previously I just jumping into the hands-on material learning instead of every instead we divided every stages or every step. So this time I tried to research what I was thinking and what is the resource can be transformed into my future work. So I'm now taking slower speed than before because of the current situation that also we force ourselves to stay the one, just a limited space.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to use this time kind of meditation period to rethink why I desire and why my continuous longing to lead me get through to building the immersive installation. So this is I'm working the backward, but this time I'm working the backward, but try to navigate my research through this whole process.
It's interesting to hear how the current global situation and the limitations that are put upon us, how that can also change perhaps the creative process and in your case, finding more time to reflect or finding another way to approach your creative practice, perhaps of giving the time to reflect and meditate upon other things too. Something that I'm taking from looking at some of your past installation works, it is this contrast of sort of the colorful and the childish, yet having something underlying that contrasted discomfort, perhaps. Could you explain a bit more on that? What is it part of that contrast that interests you to explore?
I'm actually more comfortable being in artificial landscape than in nature. I think because I grew up in South Korea, Seoul, where it's very saturated and colorful city, and it's modern and ancient time coexist at the same time. So for example, I was having Starbucks coffee with my friends in the temple in the middle of a city. So it was very common to me to view all the different time period just unfold in front of my eyes. So it was not really contrast or conflict image for me, but it's really refreshing to utilize and employ that kind of scenery into my artwork for the audience. I think that's very fascinating. And I also didn't realize at the moment, but as time goes by, Montreal is my second home. So I become objectify my memory, my hometown, the childhood I spent. It's more vividly visualized easily than when I was in South Korea. So I liked that time travel experience by using artificial materiality, but that fitting nature. I found that's kind of interesting to convey where we situate in the reality.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it's whimsical, but the way I use the materials, for example, the straw rabbits, I create a ceramic rabbit and I put the straws by using the hot glue gun, which is actually very violent approach to creating, but it's whimsical. So I found that this kind of act of building and surface treatment create beautiful things by sacrificing other concepts. So I found that that's our reality, industrialized cityscape. So that's interesting part of my work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this your cultural background as Korean, is that something that you're reflecting more upon than the sort of landscapes that you just mentioned? I'm curious to how the background and the contrast of now residing in Canada. And I just read some previous interview that you had put, and I just found that to be interesting of how that is incorporated further in your work as well.
I spent my childhood and adolescence in South Korea, so I came here after my brain is not that soft enough to observe directly. So I have a clear idea about who I am as a Korean, but I never studied art when I was in South Korea. So that is also the playing important part I'm using industrial materials rather than traditional or conventional mediums to build my art. And also the living in the foreign country forced me to think outside of a box and also think more freely, but at the same time try to enjoy the dislocation. People think that when someone was moving from their original land, they will be depressed or being confused. But actually, I was enjoying that moment as like a honeymoon period.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I moved, where ignorance is become bliss. When I came into a foreign culture, I do not know language, I do not know culture, but that time I can think whatever I want to think without any control mechanical systems. So that period really helps me to develop and push more and freely express my childlike passion
mm-hmm.
through creative process. So I think hybriding between Western and Eastern culture, actually Western people don't really know this, but the people in the East have long been learning about Western culture. So the form of a hybrid culture I experienced at the time awoke my sensibilities and helped me to conceive of myself from a new perspective. And I hope to maintain this awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting contrast and a combination of both your background and your upbringing and your current surroundings of where you're currently working and residing.
Yeah.
If we're looking sort of onwards to the horizon or what's coming up next, do you care to share any plans or dreams of what you're aiming to do further on?
I will continue to play and volley between nature, organic, man-made materials as I did it before. At the same time, I would like to employ new devices and method of media art. I need new challenges and new chapters. So I will plan to visualize a fictional landscape as a vehicle to examine the sense of artificial nostalgia. So I'm curious about how this will support the way I conceive myself through and how I comprehend what I see. Through this experience, I will expand the perception of sentimental value, time, energy, and history that makes a special meaning.
Okay, well, great. I hope you succeed with that project and whatever else lays ahead of you, Hao.
Thank you.
Well, I want to, thank you for coming in and being part of the radio, and good luck in the future artistic explorations.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Hea. Take care.
Take care.
So that was a conversation with Hea R. Kim. Don't miss out on checking out her work that we just recently talked about on heakim.weebly.com. So heakim, that is heakim.weebly.com. This is Pirate Block Radio here at CKUT 90.3 FM. What you just heard was One Warm Spark with Colleen, a track that you can probably find on our next guest's playlist. An artist in residency at Eastern Bloc, artist and educator working with electronic arts and biomaterials within installations and participatory performances, amongst other things. Amélie Brandamour. Great to have you with me today, Amélie. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm in Quebec City at the moment, and it's just finally started to look like spring is coming with more sun and warmer temperatures.
That's great. I always get a bit too hopeful in that first sort of surge. You're never sure if winter's actually over, but yeah, we'll see how it progresses. Well, to start off our discussion today, I think maybe it would make sense to start talking about your current residency at Eastern Bloc, where you're working with a project titled Nous sommes tous signaux, a sort of interactive installation with a mix between biomaterials and electronic arts. But I thought maybe you could elaborate and introduce the project a little bit further on what it is that you'll be working on.
So thank you for the interview. It's nice to reflect more on my process in this audio form. So the project that I'm working at Eastern Bloc is part of a bigger installation project in that is in three parts. So this is only one artwork, one of the three parts that are going to be presented at the end. The exhibition project deals with bioluminescence and the idea of communication that is not language-based. And bioluminescence is present in a lot of sea creatures, mushrooms, insects. And maybe the base of the project was asking the question, could we consider it as a form of communication? What are the form of communication that are not language-based? And what would happen if we enter in communication with other species, considering bioluminescence as a way to do that? So in a way, it's a creative question. It's not something that I'm looking for to find a specific answer to, but it's what inspired this project. And what I'm doing more specifically at Eastern Bloc at the moment is developing those pieces that are going to be installed on a wall, and in which there's going to be light, and they're going to look a bit like a light bright, in which there's going to be a light behind a kind of black screen. And on top of this screen, there's going to be hundreds of holes, and with those little round shapes that are made of bioplastic that is made out of algae with the material that is called agar, that are going to be in different colors. And so looking a bit like this light bright. And when visitors of the exhibition are going to come in, the pieces will respond to different tonalities in their voice. So depending if you're making a high-pitched sound like ee, or like a low-pitched sound, then it's going to light up or activate different mm-hmm. Color part of the piece.
That sounds really interesting. I'm curious to see how the actual installation will turn out to look like as well.
Thank you.
But you know, apart from this project, there seems to have been a precursor to, or sort of a resembling project on oscillation, or in English, in oscillation, that came before this one, right?
Yeah. So in the past, I could say before 2017, I was doing more participatory projects in public spaces. I presented a project with Dardar in 2017. Before that, I did a lot of participatory project in nature. And I began to read more and more about the relationship between certain kind of certain kind of fungi in most plants and tree in the forest, that it's called the mycorrhizal network. This is in a way a symbiotic relationship. It's hard to pinpoint. Well, it's positive because it allows both species to live, but I think we shouldn't romanticize it. There's positive and negative aspect of it. But this idea of a symbiosis between two species was really interesting for me, and this idea of a system, an intelligent system in nature that we can acknowledge and maybe get inspired from. And so in 2018, I began this the project initiation, in which I molded fungi that I found in Vancouver, around 18 species, and then I integrated them into an installation that was interactive. So when you would press a presser sensor, it would light up in series those molded fungi out of resin, and it would also the light would also lower down resistance in the electronic circuit that would then activate sound in the circuit that was electricity that was amplified with the speaker. And I learned a lot during this project. That was the first time I was using electronics. I felt like going down a rabbit hole, and then I just wanted to learn more about electronic. I always saw that as something really complicated that you had to study for a lot of time, but no, you can actually just dive in, experiment. There's a certain even fragility with electronics. Sometimes I even see similarities in nature because electricity exists in nature as well. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky to learn a lot of the technique with Studio XX in Montreal, like through kind of a feminist lens, and really emphasized this idea of experimentation and try and error and learning through mistake, actually. And so when I did this project in association, I just wanted to do more, and I began to read more about the phenomenon of bioluminescence. And I thought, there's something really fascinating about it, really intricate. It's just in recent years that scientists are beginning more to study it, like in the last 100 years. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of questions still in the air and a lot of sense of wonder as well that I want to translate into this exhibition project.
Well, it's great to hear about that curiosity has led you, I mean, as you're saying, down a rabbit hole, or that it sparks further interest in a new area in your practice then. And I mean, since you were kind enough to provide a video and some sound of on oscillation in the works, I figured perhaps that we could play a short excerpt just to at least get a sense of what it would sound like, even if we can't provide any visual cue right now. What I find interesting about these projects is also the choice of working with biomaterials. And I'm curious to hear if there's sort of a specific reason that you're implementing these materials or working within these mediums.
Yeah, so being interested in the mycorrhizal network. So just maybe to specify, if you've never heard that term before, so this connection between the fungi and the trees is happening underground and with the mycelium of the fungi. So it's the vegetative part of the fungi that you never see. We only see the fruit body, the mushroom, when it blooms overground. But underground, there's mycelium, and it's those white threads, this kind of big network of white thread. And actually, in the past 20 years, designers have begun to do research to use it as a material to make furniture, architecture, any kind of those things. And I began the project Nusam Tussigno in a residency at the Research Institute Milieu at Concordia University. It was awarded by the Conseil Québécois des Arts Médiatiques. And so being inspired by this material, I wanted to use it as a sculptural materials and create a network that would be much more organic. And I work with bio designer Théo Chauviré, who's done a lot of research, who's done his master research about the materials. So he was really knowledgeable about it. And we did a lot of research about it. And while doing the research about that, I learned about other biomaterials that could be used for bioplastic, such as the one with algae, and there's some with gelatin, so with residue of pork, like their skin and bones. And yeah, I just wanted to do more. That was another rabbit hole. I was like, whoa. And I'm a newbie in the field. So I really benefited from the help of the designer there, like Alex Backmeyer, for example. And yeah. And I think with the pandemic, I feel like we know that it's a consequence of global warming. So it made a lot of sense to begin to explore way to art making that are more sustainable. And that's when I was thinking about this project that resembled Lightbright, it required to use hundreds of plastic bags. And one option was to use plexiglass, but the other was to use bioplastic. And I was like, wow, like that would be amazing if I could. And during the residency at Eastern Bloc, I began to test the use of bioplastic made of algae with the laser cutter. And which is something like, which is such a big tool that I have not usually access to. And the results were good. And it was really able to cut like cutting edge circles that are going to be those kind of dots or pixel that are going to be part of the screens in different shapes that I'm going to make as well.
Well, that's great to hear. I mean, it sounds like you're widening your practice within this project in a lot of different ways and with a lot of new different tools to be incorporated.
Yeah, well, I feel a good thing about studying art is that you really learn to use your creativity to do research and think about projects that are interesting, but at the same time, sometimes you don't learn so much about techniques. And so it's really good for me to do a residency where there's the lab at Eastern Bloc and there's Marion, the technician there, that is very knowledgeable in electronic circuits, and some of their members like Greg, who know how to use the laser cutter. So it's nice. Yeah.
Welcome back to this episode of Pirate Block Radio with me, your host, Malte Leander. And today I'm sitting down with Amélie Brandamour. You just heard the short opening track, Unbraiding Boundless Energy Within Boundaries, with Caitlin Aurelia Smith from her latest album, The Mosaic of Transformation. I'm today speaking with Amélie about her current residency and having a closer look into some of her previous projects. I thought that we'd take a step away from just your current project, Amélie, and look upon some other things that you've done in the past, perhaps. So to me, the exchange of knowledge also seems to be in focus in some of your projects, maybe informing the public about conditions of artists and cultural workers in the city of Montreal, or by educating and engaging kids and younger people in urban design. But I'm curious to hear what makes this part of your own work important to you.
That's it. That's a good question. I feel like the social aspect of making art is as important for me than the creative aspect where I'm by myself in the studio. I really need this social outlet that my job as an art teacher and educator provides me. It also provides me with a way of living. So it's all good. And sometimes I don't see so much the barriers, in the sense that one aspect of my teaching job has been to lead workshops with kids in different kind of settings, often with younger kids, like 5, 6, 7 years old. And I do these activities a lot outdoor, and I find it truly inspiring. It's fun. It fills me with energy. It's inspiring. And then afterwards, I can put that energy into my artwork. Mm-hmm. In the past years, I've been more interested in the natural environment, but maybe before 2017, I was interested also in the urban environment. And I did this project. I presented this project with the artist run center Tartare, in which I made a mobile bakery, and that was called the Bread and Roses Bakery. And I baked those bread in the shape of the industrial buildings in Montreal, and I was in the neighborhood, like in different part of the neighborhood, and talking with people and offering them bread in the shape of the industrial buildings of the neighborhood, and talking about who are occupying those buildings that were in the past industrial workers. They've been occupied by artists. Now artists are more and more out because the tech industry is now renovating those buildings and using them. So I like this idea of exchange, of participation, of talking. One thing that maybe will put to link all of my past project together with this one is this idea of system, of transforming a system, of playing with it, of making it more creative, more of an
exchange or a meeting, perhaps.
Yeah, and more random as well, which I find is more present in nature, if we could mm-hmm. say so. So I transform, in this case, I transform a bakery. In the past, I transform a library, a postal service, a museum. And now I'm taking more of those real systems that exist in nature and still transforming them in a way so that we can maybe see our communication and social system differently. And I find the fact that there's participation makes the artwork different every time, and provide an exchange, which for me keeps it alive and interesting in a way.
Yeah, that's something that is coming through when looking at what you've previously done. And also from our past conversation, we had a discussion about the sort of teaching and learning dynamic and the exchange that happens in between, where the terminology can be of great importance, because we talked about referring to some of your, or I refer to some of your projects perhaps as educational, which isn't the right term really for what you're doing. It seems to be more of this exchange then, I guess, or the meeting. Do you care to sort of elaborate on that, or on the term of educational, perhaps, that isn't really fitting?
Yeah, so I think that in terms of my creative projects, like the term education wouldn't work so well. They're interactive, they're participative, but education means that in a way you're describing something the way it is, and which can be very didactic. And I cannot say that I like this idea of didactic with art. I really prefer it when, for example, the bioluminescence in animal is a starting point, but then I take it from there and imagine different materials to express it. And kind of, because it's art, I'm not bounded to the scientific knowledge of bioluminescence. And I think it's important to make it clear because I wouldn't like biologists to think that it's education and it's exactly the way it is. The way that I show it is exactly the way it is in nature. It's not. It's just a starting point. I want in a way to expand our imagination, not for people to come out, oh, I've learned this and that. It's more like, mm-hmm. oh, I've learned this, but I also like, what if, and could that be, or maybe more of a sense of wonder more than a sense of knowledge.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I've collaborated with biologists in the past, and it's interesting to see that some biologists, like for the first project, I took part in a small course at the Banff Marine Science Center to mold the mushrooms. And the young biologists really liked the project, but sometimes there are biologists that are just like, this is not exactly how it is in nature. They're getting angry. And I think that science doesn't have the luxury to imagine things. So I think that we should really explore that. That's why art is for, in a way.
Yeah.
We should explore that.
The flexibility, perhaps, of creativity and the mix of the two, or the meeting in between.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious to hear, now that you're taking the place as perhaps the instructor, let's say, instead of educator, but if switching the roles and sort of placing you on the other side of learning or observing, when is it that you find yourself in that position in your life or in your practice? When do you find yourself sort of absorbing knowledge or learning?
Oh, that's another interesting question. Well, I find that all the time when I think about my project, particularly my past project initiation and that this one, I always imagine project that I don't know how to create yet. First, like those projects are inspired by books, by science books that I'm reading. I'm reading a lot of science book and really taking them in as an amateur, so I'm learning a lot through them and never kind of, and I'm okay with that. Like they're a starting point. I don't need to be a specialist by the end. And then when I think about those projects, I'm thinking like just in terms of the bioplastic, it's completely new. And I'm really grateful to be able to meet other people that are more specialists in this field, like at the BioLab and at Eastern Bloc, for example. This new project that I'm developing at Eastern Bloc, I'm using microcontrollers for the first time. So again, like I'm going through website, really like a newbie, taking a lot of time just trying to understand the basics of mm-hmm. how it's working. But it's nice. It's a good way to learn. You're obligated if you want to finish the project, and you have to once it's begun. So yeah, I guess I switch roles a lot in a way. Yeah, maybe the boundaries are not so permeable at the end.
Well, no, that's good. The dynamic, I think it feeds back into each other, or at least it sounds like it, from the way that you can shift the perspectives and make one thing affect the other, and into a good cycle in terms of creativity and learning. Mm. Okay, so I think we'll have another look at your little playlist that you provided me with. So now we'll have a listen to Woven by Emily A. Sprague. So we're back here at Pirate Block Radio after listening to Woven by Emily A. Sprague. And today we're talking with Amélie Brandamour, speaking about her current residency and having a closer look into some of her projects. But Amélie, I figured that we could talk a little bit on the topic of residencies in general, which you seem to have quite a bit of experience with, both around the United States and in different parts of Canada. So I was curious to hear, how does the context of working in this sort of limited time frame that a residency gives, how does that work for you?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of different format for residencies, but the ones that I'm interested in mostly are a place of exchange between artists, and because like a lot of time you're not the only artist, there is sometimes a framework of 2 weeks, maybe a little more like a month, and really it's great to suddenly meet other artists, learn about their practice. I'll be in this creative process of beginning a project together and making research. So I really like that. And my first artist residency was in White Rabbit in Nova Scotia, in a very small rural area of Nova Scotia that's called Economy. And that was in 2010. And we were camping on the ground of this farm, and it lasted 2 weeks. We were in nature. We were doing, like, everyone was organizing workshops so we could learn from each other. And we presented in nature a project at the end that was part of a festival. And I really, really love this format. I feel it really fired up my artistic practice at the end and got me interested in residencies that are not part of the art institutions, that in a way, as an emerging artist, sometimes it's really hard to get in. So I took part in this one. Afterwards, I took part in the Murmurland Studios residency. So a lot of years later, this residency is organized by three different artists living in different cities of Canada. And they're really experimental. Like, you, they choose a different spot every time. And we camped, like in the one that I took part again in Nova Scotia, we camped for a week. And that's where I presented my the temporary woodland postal service. So that would provide a postal service between artists. Then the same summer, I participated in another residency in Great Island in Nova Scotia. That was at the beginning of the team. That's a couple that are organizing those residencies on off the grid, deserted island. So it's only one house on the whole island. And during this residency, that's where I saw bioluminescent bacteria for the first time in the water. So few people have seen them. You can see them in Nova Scotia, I think in Vancouver, and some warmer waters as well. So those are those kind of algae bacteria that blooms during certain days of the year. So that was super inspiring. And I kept this idea in my mind, and it took probably 2-3 years for me to come up with a project. And maybe just to say also that the Murmurland Studio residency was about systems, designing intelligent systems. So that was also a lens through which to see my project. And I guess those residencies in nature were a big part of me wanting to work more, to do more research and on the natural environment for future projects, mm-hmm. but also make friends, like have a vision of art that is more community-based than competitive.
Yeah,
I find that it's really important to have a sustained art practice that is also fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like a great collection of memories that has had impact in a lot of different ways, creatively and socially as well. But I'm curious to hear perhaps the creative process, how does that differ from how you would normally work with this sort of time crunch and very sort of compressed way of arriving and producing straight away, perhaps? Or yeah, how can you reflect upon that experience or that way of working?
Well, I find that any residency, it's like, I like this format because you have a constraint, like you've been accepted to a residency. People are expecting a project. So it's really motivating in a way and force you to do the work. At the same time, particularly if it's in another city, like I live in Montreal, so Eastern Bloc is not a different city, but you kind of concentrate, you kind of just do art for this amount of time. So you really have a degree of concentration that is much better than normally if you would work in a studio and work for money at the same time. Maybe like all those residences that I did in nature, you arrive and you have few materials, things don't work the way you plan, and you don't have the resource of going to a store. So you really have to adapt yourself and change your project, like have this flexibility. So I think that's some good skills to apply later. Mm-hmm. And maybe the last thing about residence is that also there's again this idea of exchange, of people being interested in your projects that when you work alone in the studio, you don't necessarily have.
Right. Yeah. Again, coming back to the sort of exchange or the meeting of sharing, and, you know, which also relates to the learning and teaching or educating, or that all sort of connects to a cycle as well of what it can feed into, the individual artist's creative process.
Yeah. And maybe I feel that also it's hard. Like I feel sometimes there's a divide between artist and real life, like people doing other jobs that are not necessarily going to an art center or in a museum. But then when you find yourself in a small town and you explain your project and you're saying, oh, it's about fungi, it's about the environment, then people, like, I think it creates a link, mm-hmm. as well, of people suddenly being more interested in art. And maybe as an art teacher, that's something that I have at heart, to make art more available for any kind of communities that are not necessarily interested in it or understand it or go to museums.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point as well. But apart from this residency or what you're currently working on, what else is on the horizon or looking further ahead? Do you have ideas or wants or dreams perhaps of what's coming up around the corner?
Oh my God. Well, it's a particular question to ask. And this March 2021, the continuation of the pandemic, Well, since it's like I embarked into a big project, my dream is to finish it and maybe see it transform along the way in ways that I didn't imagine. I teach sporadically at CEGEP. I hope I get to be able to teach more. And maybe if I dream really big, I've been looking forward to move to the countryside, partly in Quebec, maybe Nova Scotia, for the past years. And I hope I get a job in the countryside so I can do it, but also that I can create this kind of artist community outside of the big cities that in a way I've dreamed for a while. And I can see that the pandemic has encouraged a lot of creative people to move out of the cities. And I do like Montreal. I'm not saying that I don't like it, but being more in nature is interested in my work, but also in my personal life. And being part of a more knit close community, I would like that. So if you live in a small town and are interested, just call me. I'm here.
That sounds great. It also makes sense connecting to both the materials and the sort of projects that you're currently exploring to be closer to nature, perhaps.
Yeah.
Well, Amélie, it has been a pleasure having you on the show today, but unfortunately, it seems like we are running out of time for today's episode. But thank you so much for shining light upon your ideas and projects.
Thank you. What a nice pun at the end, because light is part of my project. Well, thank you so much for having invited me. Thank you for Eastern Bloc, and thank you for Marion, the technician, and all of the members that are helping and will help me for this residency.
Well, I'm looking forward to see the final project at some point in the future.
It will be exhibited this summer. I think at the end of the summer with the other artist that is doing the residency at the same time than me. It's going to be exhibited at Eastern Bloc in their new space. That's going to be exciting.
Great. Well, that's it, folks. We've almost reached the end of this episode of Pirate Bloc Radio here at CKUT 90.3 FM. As always, I am your host, Malte Leander, and today you've heard a discussion with Hea R. Kim, followed by a plunge into the work of Amélie Brandamour. If you're craving more talks on creativity, new media art, and inventive techniques and approaches, I highly recommend you to go on over to our Mixcloud, where you type in Pirate Bloc Radio to listen to more. Or if you're tuning in live, we are on air here at CKUT every first Thursday of the month between 8 and 9 p.m. Catch you next time.
I slept too little and drank too much.
What's my noses anyway? Get out of bed like this. Oh, Christ.
Rise and shine with CKUT 90.3 FM.
Lady, I'm making you your favorite meal. It's the least I can do after an entire week of taking away your phone, going through your messages, calling you names, insulting your friends, and shouting at you. Yeah, tonight, I'm making you your favorite meal so I can start another week of taking away your phone, going through your messages, calling you names, insulting your...
Violence against women stops here. Contact SOS Violence Conjugale. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Chaud pour le Mont Stone. Ce soir, à l'émission, on va écouter quelques pièces de Milford Graves, le drummer de free jazz, qui est mort le 12 février 2021. Et on en profite pour faire une émission orientée vers les percussions, jazz, musique contemporaine et autres. On commence avec ce que vous entendez présentement, la pièce Exordium, The Beginning of a Web, de Harry Partch. Harry Partch qui fait des compositions microtonales avec ses gammes qu'il invente lui-même et ses instruments aussi qui